favored family, or having God's favor on your family. And my whole desire, this whole series, was I want God to bless your family. But there's certain things that we've got to do. We think sometimes, I just pray and God just touched with a magic wand, it's gone. That is not Bible. You have to do certain things. And you and I have to put our place in the place of blessing if God's going to bless. And so that's what we've been trying to do. And today I'm going to talk about the favored father. The favored father. There is a way, Dad, that you can have the favor of God on your life. And you can have the favor on your family. You can do that. Today, how to be a favored father. It's a 6-part series, I believe. We do everything that we do on DVD. We thank the Lord for a recent gift that we got. We're able to get a brand new camera here. We had wore that other sucker flat out. But, I mean, we're able to move up the ladder a little bit. I don't know anything about any of that stuff, but thank God Roger has this info and information in the head that I don't have, and he helps us. Amen? And so we're able to get this new camera so that we can put these series on DVD. It's not about me. It's about the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? And that's what we preach here. And that's what we teach here. It did me good the other night to see Billy Graham, who was preaching, by the way, on TV when my drunk mama heard. And then we came to church, and 3 weeks later we were saved. This man, 80-plus now, on television, the other night on Larry King. And Larry asked him, do you think that you are important? Or how do you feel about your... He said, I'm nothing. The gospel's everything. Boy, that did me good. So we have these messages. You can get them sometime. We've got so many now. It's fantastic. It's the Word of God. And we want to get you to listen to the Word and believe in the Word. So any service you ever want to hear, DVD or CD, we'll give it to you. In case you weren't here for this series. Last message today, how to be a favored father. Couple of things. How you can have God's blessings. If you're dead, how can you do it? We're going to talk about it. By the way, this is going to make you the favorite father of your family if you'll listen today. If you'll listen. If you do what God's Word says, your kids won't be looking to some other daddy. Ooh, I wish I had daddy. I like that daddy. You can be the dad to your family. By the way, this is something I enjoy talking about. It's going to be some pretty... It'd be hard-hitting. So if you need to exit, you better hurry. All right? Or hang on. All right? And if you're visiting, all right, fine. I'm glad you're here. Let's look at it. Principles from God's Word today that are going to bring blessing into your life and the lives of your wife and children. That's why I want the favor of God on me as a dad. I want my wife to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. And there's a way to do it. And these are just some things the Lord showed me from Scripture, and I want to share them with you. Here they go. Number one, and I'd like you to say it with me. Cleave, don't leave. Can you say that with me? Come on, help me now. Cleave, don't leave. Cleave, don't leave. That's what the Bible says. Let's keep moving. Hang on. Don't hit the road, Jack. I mean, this is a big part of God blessing you, Dad. It's just hanging in there. Staying with it. Cleaving to your wife and to your family. Let's look at it. See what the Bible says. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall, and he shall what? What's the word? Cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now that was in Genesis. Then you come to the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall what? Cleave to his wife. Two shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more two or twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then look at Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. More books than anybody else in the New Testament. Look what he says. For this cause shall a man do what? Leave his father and mother, and shall be joined or cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So what's the first point? Let's move it, Raj. That is cleave, don't leave. Don't leave, Dad. Don't leave. But you don't understand that woman. Don't leave. You're not going to hear leaving from this preacher. You hear me? You think you're going to come to me one day, sit down in my office, and you think I'm going to tell you to leave your wife? It ain't happening. But you don't understand what she did. What have you ever done? Huh? God loved you, didn't he? He sent his son Jesus to die for you. You can't forgive and stay. You hear me? Are you hearing me today? You with me? I'm talking about blessing. Leave if you want to. The record's out there, friend. The numbers are out there. The blessing is going to be with that family unit you're in right now. And I know things happen. I know divorce happened. Things happened in the past. I know that. But today is a new day. Amen? 2005, June, you need to make up your mind. I'm going to stay with the stuff. Cleave, don't leave. Keep moving. Several things. Know and believe that you're one flesh. Just zip them up. Communicate your commitment to your wife. Tell your wife, I ain't leaving. Flat out here. I don't care if I do get bald headed. You stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? It's the way it is. Tell your kids. Tell your kids, I ain't ever leaving mom. Tell them. Let them know it. I know sometimes we get frustrated. It gets difficult. But listen, don't communicate to your children for crying out loud that daddy might leave. That's horrible. And you'll stand before God one day and give an account because you put that in your kid's mind. I can't stand that. Tell you right now, dad, grow up. Stop playing that game, that emotional game with your wife and kids. I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. Don't do that. Stop it. Are you hearing me today, son? I might just be preaching to a couple of you, but I believe it's for more than a couple today. Because I know my own experience and how I feel. Been there and struggled. Cleave, don't leave. Next. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved what?
Church.
Gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Give yourself to your wife, to your family. Dad, I'll never leave you, period. Communicate it. Let them know. Look at this one. I have to be cutting too. Because we one flesh, baby. That's the way it is. If I'm leaving, I guess somebody's going to cut me in too because we're one flesh. I'm staying with it. I'm talking about how to have the favor of God on your family. And I know it's difficult, especially some of you have gone through pain. A husband has left you. I know it's not easy in the struggle. But that doesn't negate that this is the truth of the Word of God and we need to start clean, fresh. We need to have the truth. Amen? This is what the Bible says. Clean, don't leave. This provides needed security for your wife and children. Joy needs to know that Gary Clark is not leaving. She doesn't need to go to bed at night, get up in the morning. Is that man going to be with me? Is that man going to be gone? She needs to know. And don't give me this junk that y'all preach as family and you got a perfect little... Are you crazy? I paid for two drops. I never saw my mother kiss and dad kiss and hug. I saw my dad one time stand in front of the heater in our little old country home, take a gun to his head, I'm going to kill myself. Right, as a little child, we saw that. And mama said, go ahead, go ahead. What I'm saying is, excuses aren't going to cut it.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, if you're a child of living God, you've got level ground just like all of us. You can get in that book, touch, and change your life.
Amen.
And we need to communicate to our wives, to our children. This gives them security. We might not be the most talented rascal in the world, but guess what? I can stay. Amen? I can stay. Boy, that puts me ahead of most fellows right there. I tell you right now, I heard. I can stay. I'm here. Cleave, don't leave. Families that have this kind of foundation are blessed of God. That's what we're talking about, the favor of God. Families that have this, husbands that say this and believe this, wives that know this, children that grow up knowing this, have a foundation and they'll be blessed of God. So cleave. Can you say it, baby? Come on, loud and clear. Cleave. Don't. Cleave. There you go. Thank you so much. This takes courage. It takes commitment. It takes compassion. Guess what? It takes confession. It takes saying, I'm sorry. I've screwed up. I've messed up. I've failed you. Tell the Lord. Tell your mate. It takes communication. And us guys, you know, we're real sexual creatures. You know that, don't you? But it takes a whole lot of cutting. You hear me? Put that in there. Put that in. If you're going to clean, don't bend up. Your wife needs that. She doesn't just need you. Well, anyway, we won't go there. She needs you cutting in that bed. All right, here we go. Number two, this picture. This is so important. This is so important to what we're saying. The picture of daddy never leaving is an imprint in the mind and spirit of your children. The imprint of daddy never leaving is an imprint in the mind and spirit of your children that their heavenly father will never leave them. Nor forsake them. How can kids trust in God when they can't even trust a daddy? Whom they can't see. They can see you, Dad. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Stay with it. Stay with it. It's not just about you. Can you say that with me? It's not just about you. There's a bigger picture here. Okay, so cleave, don't leave. And this is what I say. I'll take this to the bank. I'll believe it all day long. God will bless this guarantee. If you'll do this, God will bless this guarantee. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter to me. I know what I'm going to do. Honey, I'm staying with you. Okay? You just go ahead and count on it. That's it. Number two, how to be a favorite father. Number two, provide, don't look for a free ride. I'm talking about the blessings of God. Cleave, don't leave. Number two, provide, don't look for a free ride. What am I talking about? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Worse than somebody that doesn't provide for their family is worse than somebody that doesn't believe in God, that doesn't even care about God, that hates God. A guy that doesn't provide for his family. Provide. Don't look for a free ride. Ecclesiastes 2. There's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. 1 Thessalonians 4. Study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own what? Hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. Why do a lot of people lack? They don't work. Isn't that awful? I'm not saying everybody lacks because they don't work. But most people lack because they don't work. Do you agree with that or no? That's it. I know here in America, down here in Florida, provide, don't look for a free ride. I'm talking about how can I have God's favor on me? Cleave, don't leave, provide. God will bless you if you accept, Dad, your responsibility as a provider for the family. He'll bless you if you do that. Work and work hard. Realize this is the will of God. Work is your one. Yeah, I made it. I was at a radio station the other day, something I wanted to do, and laid a sign out there, and several. And by the way, all women, riding down Dearborn Street, rolling down the window. Work is your friend. I'm not ever telling you anything else. Anyway, hey, it is. Provide. Let's keep moving. God does not bless laziness. Nowhere in the Bible, sir, will you find that. I challenge you, show it to me after the service. I'll spend here all afternoon with you a lot. God doesn't bless laziness. God blesses work. I said it before. We have 7 days in a week. The Bible says 6 days you work. In America, we've got that scale down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Work six. Yeah, okay, fine. Provide for your family. It's a good thing. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. What that basically means, he that's lazy ain't going to have nothing. All right? And he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. You work, you sow, you're going to get. That's what the Bible says. Provide for your family. Philippians. I just want to make a couple of statements. This is a scripture I quote all the time. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery and equal with God, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made the likeness of men. And being found in passions of man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus provided for us. Just a couple of statements. Jesus worked and provided and humbled himself. He is our example, guys. We need to do that. You know what? McDonald's is still better than Golgotha. What's that mean? Well, I can't work there. That's beneath me. What in the world wrong? You have an obligation to provide for your family. Flat out here. And last time I checked, McDonald's is still easier than Golgotha. Amen? So you're not going to get any slack from God. Oh, God, I can't do that. He's going to say, fine. But you don't eat. That's what he says. That's what the Word says. Look at this. My daddy worked in the mill. Jesus did his work on the heel. My daddy was a cotton mill worker. You can't get harder, uglier work, I think, than being an oiler and a sweeper in a cotton mill. But that still wasn't as hard as what Jesus did. Work, Dad. Provide for your family. I want to encourage you today. God will bless that. Look at this. When you said I do, you did it then.
When you said I do, you did it then.
So here it is. Put that rod.
Do, Daddy.
Can you say that with me?
Do, Daddy.
One more time.
Do, Daddy.
It's what you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to do as a daddy? You're supposed to do, Daddy. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do these things. Why am I saying this? Because some wife is moaning, groaning, griping. No, that's not what I'm saying for. No. I'm saying because this is the design of God. God will bless you for this. He'll show favor on you. I believe it. Matthew 7. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Dad, give to your kids. Give to your wife. Provide for them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Amen. Aren't you glad you got the help to do that? Say, guys, amen?
Amen.
Great. Praise God. When your kids see you work, listen to me, and work hard, God is blessing them in ways that are unreal. When your kids see, listen, Dad, when they see a man that works, that does, that's faithful, that goes to work, that just works hard around the house, whatever, those kids are learning. They're learning something about how to be a man, how to be a woman, how to grow up, how to provide, how to do, how to succeed, how to achieve in life. This is huge. Provide. Don't look for a free ride. Here's the second picture. The picture of Daddy providing is an imprint on your children that leads to understanding that their Heavenly Father, God, will provide everything they need.
Amen.
Everything they need. But if you're not providing, then how's God going to provide for me? If you that I see before me is not providing, how can the God I don't see provide for me? It's a big picture, friend. I believe this with all my heart. God will bless this guarantee. These are guarantees. We'll give you the money back on the DVD if you get it. Promise you, okay? We'll throw a t-shirt in too. Alright? God will bless this. God will bless this if you do it. Now listen to the third thing. How to be a favorite father. Number three. How about the blessings of God? Are y'all with me so far? Are you okay this morning? Because y'all are quiet. This is maybe one of those kind of messages. It ain't ha-ha message today, is it? Number three. Train up. Don't tick off. Here's what I mean by that. Look at the scriptures. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to train up our kids, Dad, not tick them off. And we're going to talk about it. 1 Thessalonians, you know how we exhorted, we comforted, we charged every one of you as a father does his children. What's the words? Exhort, comfort. That's what we're to do. We're to train up, not tick off. What do we mean? Number one, bring them up. They're tender. Bring your kids up. They're tender. They're like little plants. Do you hear me? Do what I say. Boom, what? Listen, that ain't how you do it. You bring them tender. You hearing me? Bring them up. Number two. Nurture them. Lovingly care for your kids, Dad. Loving your children is not being a sissy. Did you hear me?
Amen. I love my kid. That's sissy. My dad never said I love either, so I ain't saying.
You're not your dad. And your kids aren't you. Aren't you glad, son?
Amen.
You have a chance to make a difference. You can change. The Holy Spirit of the living God. You're here today for a reason. To hear this message. I'm telling you. Nurture them.
Amen.
Number three. Admonish them. That means teach them. Challenge them. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandments. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Bind them about your neck, about your heart. Tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. When you're waking, it'll talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Dad, watch your kids. If you don't teach them, they're going to walk in darkness. And God's going to hold you responsible. And I know many of you talk to me and you're heartbroken. Many of you didn't do this. And you admit that. And now your kids, I'm not saying it's always a surefire, rule that it's going to work. But this is what the Bible says. Amen. People still have a choice. Your kids still make choices. But many of you admit that you did do it wrong. And now there's hell to pay because of it. You can change. You can do it this way. This is God's word. Why, son? Here's his father's instruction. But a scorner he will not hear rebuke. You might say, well, my son won't listen to me. How do you know that unless you try? Amen?
I'm older now. How can I talk to him?
Start talking to him. Amen? Start talking to your kids. Admonish them. This is what God says. Train up. Don't take your kids off. Exhort them. Let's keep moving. Encouraging and comforting will go a lot further than this. Look at this. Then say, this is my house, and you'll do what I say as long as you live under my roof. Let's go ahead, Dad. I've said it. How many of y'all said that? Raise your hand if you said it. There we go. Look at it. Look at it. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, sometimes we say that as dads. But there's a lot more that we can say than just that. A lot of us, that's all we say. It's my room, man. That's where my dad raised me. Listen, you're not your dad. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You can do better than that. Talk to kids. Communicate with them. All right? Tough is necessary at times, but tender, nurturing, admonishing is appropriate, and it's always in style. Kids would much rather you love them, talk to them, and have a reasonable respect for them than talking down to them like trash. This is what the Bible says. The Bible said, and I didn't. Fathers, provoke not your children to what? Wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God is not going to bless you if you're always doing this. Popping a cork and blowing a fuse. God's not going to bless you, friend.
I want to be blessed. I want to be a good daddy.
Listen, you're always popping a cork. Somebody in early service, I said this earlier, they didn't know what popping a cork is. We're not talking about wine and bubbly here, all right? We're talking about anger.
Mad, frustrated, raising your voice.
And I do it better than anybody. You know? And my wife is right there, and boy, it's not pretty. Amen. But I'm learning, amen. I'm learning. Guys, we can learn. We don't have to pop the cork and blow a fuse all the time. Keep moving. He doesn't do that with you, so why do you do that with your kids?
Amen.
I said something earlier. The Lord gave us, and just led me to think this way this week, I believe. Most of us, when we don't know the Bible, we grow up thinking that God is sitting in heaven. And He's got a big what? Big bat, a big stick. Just waiting to pop us where? On the head. See, that's the way we think of God. We've been thinking of God like that. That's not the Bible. That is not the God of the Bible. God loved you, gave Jesus for you. I wouldn't give Nick's for you. He did everything for us, didn't He? Huh? Listen. But that's the image that we have of God. And here's what I think. I think that's an image that man has sort of created to sort of let us off the hook. With our anger, with our temper, with our popping our kids over the head, or angry, or the way we talk to them. Listen, that's not the way your father talks to you. Your heavenly father treats you. So why do we do that there? Train them up. Don't take them off. The picture of daddy, tenderly nourishing, admonishing, encouraging, is an imprint on your children that their Heavenly Father God loves them and can teach them and can direct their lives. That's what happens when we do this the right way. Then we got to move real fast through this, Raj. Here's what God said about Jesus when He was baptized. He said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." This is what we need to say to our children, Dad. You're my Son. Keep moving. You're my Son that I love. You're my Son of whom I'm well pleased. This is what God told Jesus Christ. Say this with me, Dad. Just Dad. Would you say this to me with me today? Dad, would you say it? I claim you. You need to tell your kids that. You need to tell your kids you're mine, and I'm glad you're mine. Number two, say it with me, Dad. I love you. Come on, that's weak. Come on. I love you. Tell your kids that. Get them. Hold them. Look in their face. I love you. When I talk to my daughter, when I talk to my son, now that I'm a great example, I didn't grow up knowing love. But when I talk to him on the phone, or you need to take, keep cleaning your room, you need to do this, you take that trash out, boy. And I talk to him and I didn't listen. And then we get done. Hey, I love you.
Amen.
I love you too, Dad. Love you. Love you too, Dad. I encourage you. Say that to your kids. When you talk to him, I love you. Yesterday, Father's Day coming, my daughter must have told me she loved me 14 times. Love you, Dad. Love you, Dad. Boy, I'd give anything for that now. That's a good step right there. I'm walking on the sidewalk, working like a dog yesterday. I tell everybody it was slave day. at the Clark House, in the yard, you know what I'm talking about? So anyway, and me and my daughter were walking there, and she said, "You know I love you, Dad." I said, "I've never doubted it." Mm-hmm. You know? Tell your kids, Dad, that you love them. Next, tell your kids you're proud of them. You're proud of them. You might say,
"You knew my young and you could never say that."
Listen, God will help you to find something to be proud of your kids about. You just think about it, okay? And tell them. Look at them, say, "I'm proud of you." It can be just anything. You hear me? But to hear it from daddy, it's going to mean the world, these youngins. Train them up, don't tick them off. And this is something I wanted to say to y'all today. Nobody wants to call on a God who screams and yells. Nobody wants to call on a God who screams and yells. And kids don't want to call on a daddy that screams and yells. Are you hearing me today? And by the way, if you keep screaming and yelling, "Dad, let me talk to you," they don't grow up and they don't ever speak to you again. And then you're going to tell all your friends, "Well, my son don't ever call me. I don't understand." But what in the world did you do? That's tough, preaching, I know. But it could be different. Confess it. Talk to them. "I'm sorry. I was wrong. I sinned." Tell them. The last thing is this today. And this, we're done this morning. What time do we have? Well, okay, great. I didn't know if that clock was right or wrong. Here we go. Hang in there with me. I know you won't leave, Daddy. Or go out on the boat. Hang on. Here we go. Lead by following God. Can you say that with me? Lead by following God. So number one, cleave, don't leave. Number two, provide, don't look for a free ride. Number three, train up, don't what? Tick off your children. And the last one is lead by following God and they'll follow you. 1 Corinthians 4. It's interesting. Paul didn't have children. The Apostle Paul. But look how he talked. He said, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." The Apostle Paul, when he would lead people to Christ and he would start churches, he felt like Timothy was his own son. He had other people that he would talk about like that because he led them to the Lord. He says this, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many what? Fathers, for in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel." Then he made this wonderful statement, phenomenal statement, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." Dad, you are your children's daddy. They can have 1,000 teachers, instructors, but you're the only daddy they got. Can you tell your children, "Be followers of me"? They'll listen to you. They might not listen to the teacher. But I believe if you'll lead, Daddy, they'll follow. I believe that. Let's look. I got a buddy who works in Dallas. He's a PR man. And he worked for Jerry Falwell, Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse, Salvation Army. That's what he does. He also worked on the presidential campaign of George Bush, the first George Bush that was president. He's a very smart fellow. He wrote me this week. And said, "I wanted you to," he said, "I knew you might be preaching this coming Sunday, and I came across this and I thought you might like it." So he sent it to me from Dallas. Father stats. Let's look at some stats on fathers right quick. Let's move it. Consider these findings. Here it is. In spiritual matters, kids take their cues from dad. In spiritual matters, kids take their cues from dad. Now you can argue with this if you want to, but it's the facts. This is good stuff. It's sad, but it's true. When mom is a regular church goer, but dad attends infrequently, just 3% of their kids go on to become regular church goers. Okay? When mom is regular, but dad just hits and misses, 3% of them, when they grow up and make their choices, only 3% of them go to church. 97% of them don't. Next. When mom is regular, but dad never attends, just 2% go. So it dropped a percent. So this is basically, none of them are going to go. Isn't that what it's saying? But look at this. Flip chart. What if dad is a faithful church attender? We know church won't get you to heaven, but boy, it sure is good to go. Amen? Hear God's word to be encouraged. What if dad's a faithful church goer? When mom and dad both attend church regularly, 33% of the kids grow up to attend church. So when you think, "Well, that ain't cool. I don't want to go. That's no good, Dad." You're basically dooming your kids to not believe in God, to not hear God's Word, to not grow up knowing the Lord. What if dad is a faithful churchgoer? When dad is regular and mom goes, that's 33%. But when dad is regular and mom just goes once in a while, that figure even goes up. That tells me the power and influence a dad has on his kids. Even when mom's staying home, the kids are going, well, if daddy's going, I'm going. Dad, you have power and influence in that home. Look at this one. This is a mind blower, a bombshell. When dad is faithful but mom never goes, period, 44% of kids end up going to church and becoming church attenders in life. What does that tell me? Dads matter. Can you say that today? Dads matter. And what you do matters. Kids take their cues from dad. And you know, I want to say something to you. I'm getting off here just a little bit. But I can't be your kid's dad. And as much as Mike wants to be the kid's dad, as much as youth directors want to be the kid's dad, they can't be the kid's dad. 7 out of 10 kids that grow up in church in a good, solid youth group end up quitting when they get age 18, 19, 20, 21. You know what? The information is showing us? Is saying instead of spending all this money on the kids, friend, we ought to be reaching dad! We've got it a little backwards. Well, that church needs to have this program and that, but what this church needs is dads. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Can I do something with you? I'm being crazy now. If you are a dad or a young man, if you are a male, could you stand here today? Could you stand with me? Just stand, please, quick, stand. Stand up. Well, if you don't mind, we're just doing a little test. Hey, let's men and women both. Let's praise the Lord. We got a pretty good percentage going. Amen? Come on. Amen. Praise God. I want you to see that, but you're not alone. Amen? Be seated if you would. Guys, you're coming. You're coming. Praise God for you. I don't normally do that, so thank you. In spiritual matters, kids take the cues from dad. If Papa doesn't go to church, chances are very slim that his children are going to go. A couple other statements. If kids see religion as a mom thing, especially boys, if they see religion as a mom thing, they're more likely to become disenchanted. But if dad leads by example, kids are 22 more times likely to be a church attender. Isn't that huge? It's phenomenal. How to be a favorite father. And I'm done this morning. Thank you for listening today. This means a lot to me. In the book of John, Jesus was unashamed to talk about his fathers. And we're going to look at something. I was just reading my Bible this week. And it's interesting. Jesus loved his father. He talked about his father. And I think what you think about what Jesus thought about these few things is going to help you become an example, or you're not going to be an example because you don't care about these things. Jesus talked about his father's what? His father's house. He said unto them that sold us, take these things, since make not my father's house a house of merchandise. My house needs to be a house of prayer. Jesus loves his father's house. Second thing, he talked about his father's name. He said, I'm come in my father's name. You receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you receive. Jesus loved his father's name. Dad, can off your lips slip GB and Jesus Christ and all Jesus and things like that? Let me tell you something. The way you think about your father's house, the way you think about God's name is affecting your children. Oh, kids, we need to go to church. But if they're hearing that, I'm going to say it again, crap come out of your mouth, they're not going to get it, buddy. Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit. We can't fool them. His father's will. And this is the father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus was interested in his father's will. Are you interested in God's will for your life? He was talking about his father's hand. My father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. Amen. Do you talk to your kids like that? Listen, I know we have trouble. I know this is hard on family, but we're in the father's hands. Dad, are you communicating like that to your kids? It'd be okay. How come, Dad? How are we going to know it's going to be okay? Because this is in God's hands. and we're in God's hands. It'll work. Talk to Him like that. Believe like that. He talked about His Father's commandments. If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. If God's Word, Dad, doesn't mean anything to you, if keeping His commands, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but if it doesn't mean anything, they're not going to follow. Last thing. How you respond and regard, and this was a real quick thing I just did. There's more that we could say. How you respond and regard God's house, God's name, God's will, God's hand, God's commandments will measure how you'll find God's favor and how your wife and children will follow you. I want God's favor. We might say that. The part you think about His house, His name, His will, His hand, and His commandments. They'll follow you if you leave. Won't you, ladies? Amen? Amen? Sure you will. Sure you will. Y'all want to go together. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amen?
Amen.
It'll happen. Come on. God wants to bless you. We're done today. Say it with me if you don't mind. William, here we go. Cleave. Don't leave. Number two. Provide. Don't look for. Rewrite. Number three. Train up. Don't tick off. Number four. Lead by following God and they'll follow you. Thank you for listening today. You've been a blessing.
Amen.
Dad, I know you feel like you've been beat up.
No.
You know?
Amen. Good.
Hey, thank you, brother. I want to say this in closing. And we're going to be done. Why do men not come to church? There's a lot of stats out on that. Brand new book, you ought to get it. Can't think of the title right now, but they got things why men don't go to church. I think it's the title. One of the number one reasons is because of sissy preachers. Okay? And I know sometimes I say something like I said, and my wife gets on me, I said the word crap. I know it's a little ugly. But when you use God's name in vain, what do we call that kind of mess? I don't know what else to call it. But the point is this. I don't make any apologies for loving sports, for I'm not in the best shape in the world, but I believe in being a man. I believe you ought to work. I believe in competition. When I play a game, I want to win the game. That's the way it is.
Amen.
Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, good. You reach all the women then. Because men, most men, they're goal-oriented. They want to accomplish something. They want to come to church. They want to get something. And so, here at Fellowship, that's my prayer for us. That we can, that, you know, that together we can work together, we can be men. Jesus loved people. He died on the cross for crying out loud. Last time I checked, that was a pretty manly thing to do, don't you think?
Amen.
I think that's why the devil didn't like the Passion movie, because it showed the beating that Jesus took and He just kept taking it for us. Amen? He's a man. He loves us. He's strong. And so that's one of the number one reasons. And another, the same thing is because many times, priests aren't married. They can't relate. I mean, this is what the stats are saying. Or in the church, there's abuse of children. Man will come to church all right, but he'll come with a ball bat to beat up somebody that does that. You know what I'm saying? That is very important to men. So guys, I just want to encourage you. Here, I'll guarantee it, we're doing our best we can. We're going to preach God's Word. We're going to shoot straight with you. If you don't like it, that's tough. All right? I love you, though. You've got to believe that. But we talk tough.